you sound, man. I thought he was shouting. He's up there giving it this. I didn't know. I said, well, he's feeling the Spirit up there anyway. Amen. All right. Luke chapter number 1. Luke's Gospel chapter number 1. Chapter 2. We're going to be looking back into chapter 1 some. But Luke chapter number 2. Tried our very best to mind the Lord and try to get discernment and direction on the service tonight. And I believe the Lord has spoken to our heart and give us direction about what He wants us to preach, or at least what He wants us to begin with, and trust the Lord to speak to us tonight. I'm honored to be here. Heard great reports of the afternoon service, and Brother Mullins, one of my favorite preachers on planet Earth, I tell you. Every time I've ever heard him preach, he's been fresh, had a fresh word from God. I mean that. I say that behind his back and in his presence. I just soon hear him as anybody I know. He's preached in our church several times, and he's paid me good to say these things, but amen. But I esteem him high in the Lord, and when he comes to preach or is getting called on to preach, I'm on the edge of my seat, on high alert, because I know that what I'm fixing to hear is a word from God. Amen? And I'm glad God still has a few left like that. I'm glad God still has a few preachers that wants to please God and honor the Lord and be a mouthpiece for God. Amen? I wish I could say that about all of them, but it's not so. Some's become hirelings, and, you know, and some are just puppets, and, you know, they've just made a career choice, and they're not really interested in pleasing the Lord. Any man that'll not tell you the truth does not love you. You would not go back a second visit to a doctor that dodged your issue. Would you? Wouldn't go back you wouldn't give him a second chance. He'd be done. If you've got a hurt or a problem here and he looks everywhere but there, I would not go back. I'd say that doctor he doesn't love me. He doesn't care about my well-being. Amen. I would not go to a mechanic a second time that dodged the potential breakdown of my vehicle. Told me, knowing I'm going to take a trip, and he said, there it is. You're fine, everything checks out, and intentionally dodge a breakdown issue. I would not go back. We know that about a doctor, and we could take that scenario right on through. But when it comes to church, we want a preacher that'll hit everything but the issue. And if he does, we'll get mad at him. That don't make a bit of sense to me. If anybody's wanting to help you, it is a God-called man of God. If anybody will be your friend and will tell you the truth, it ought to be a preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. I'm nervous. I'm telling you. Gracious, I'm nervous. Brother Mack will be sitting over here. I feel like I'm preaching to Paul. Amen. I love you, preacher. I tell everybody everywhere, you're my hero. I mean that. A mentor to me. I'll never forget it. First time I ever preached for him, I went in, I'm telling you, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I mean, I wasn't exaggerating. I thought I was. I mean, I was about to pass out. Literally. And you know, I mean, that was years ago, wasn't it, preacher? And I went there to preach for a, you know, a man of that caliber. And I thought, Lord, help me, Jesus. I mean, oh, fasting, praying, and a few other things. Amen. But Brother Maccabee tuned in on that. I guess it was evident on my face. The Bible said that your countenance doth witness against thee. And I'd say he's seen it all over my face. And I'll never forget it. I mean, that's been years ago. He came all over there. We was early, and he came over, and he got down on one knee right beside of me. And I mean, talked to me just about like a daddy would to his son. And just, I could just feel this. I was just calming down. Amen. Boy, that was a blessing to me. I'll tell you, that was a blessing to me. I'm still nervous though. Amen. All right. Luke chapter number 2. Luke's Gospel chapter number 2. Is there another preacher tonight, preacher? Okay. Just want to make sure. Didn't know whether to preach 2 hours or one and a half. I'm just kidding. Chapter 2 of Luke. If nothing else tonight, you might get a good Christmas message. Some y'all be 4 months ahead. Okay. Chapter 2. No, it's going to be God's message. Ain't no doubt. Because it comes from God's Word. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was out of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, we ask you to use, dear Lord, your word. We pray for that special touch tonight that makes preaching powerful, that makes preaching effective. Lord, I'm not interested tonight in just performing or going through some ritual. Dear Lord, I want to convey your heart through my heart this evening. Lord, I pray that you will challenge all of us here tonight. Lord, that your will be done in our life. Save those that are not saved and stir the saints of God. Send revival. We need it so desperately. Lord, I would ask now that you would help us allow your word to come alive in our spirit. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to us and through us for your glory. And I plead the blood, Lord, of Jesus Christ. I know that tonight I'm not worthy to stand in this pulpit. I understand that. And I'm keenly aware of my limitations. But Lord, I'm not trusting my ability in this hour. But dear Lord, I want to make myself available and trust your ability. Lord, we pray that you'll use us, and Lord, we will be careful, our God, to give you the praise that you deserve. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for our sakes we pray. Amen and amen. I want to direct your attention back into verse number 5. I know we could have read on, the story goes on, and it's certainly worthy of our reading and of the attention to be given to it. But I'm interested in verse number 5. I was reading this a few months ago, actually, and in my devotions, I was reading this, and the Lord just allowed something to jump off the page at my heart in verse number 5. The Bible said to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Notice this statement, being great with child. Now, who the child was Jesus. Mary was great with Jesus. Jesus being God, Mary was great with God. I want to preach on greatness with God. Greatness with God. Now, there's not a person in this building tonight that do not desire in some area or another to attain some measure of greatness. The drive behind popularity is wanting to have a great name, wanting great notoriety, great recognition. Amen. Most of the time, behind materialism is that desire to achieve greatness. And with the world measures greatness differently than God does. The world measures greatness on prettiness. Most of us will never be great because we disqualify in that one area. We're lacking looks. When God was giving out looks, we thought He said books and we took a funny one. But we will not measure up. So why? What's the point of young people striving for greatness in the world's eyes when most likely you will never have it? And if you did attain it, what do you have? The world measures greatness by possessions. The world measures greatness by positions. The world measures greatness by power. The world measures greatness by peers. Who's your friends and who's your associates? The world measures greatness by prosperity and so on and so forth. Now, I'm glad tonight that God does not measure greatness by those measurements. If God measured greatness by those measurements, I know for one, I would never be great. Amen. But if I look at the definition and the description found in our text verse of what greatness to God is, what greatness with God is, then I say unto you that not only I, but every child of God in this building can be great with God. Amen. And I believe that every saved person ought to have an aspiration to have some kind of a pleasure to God. I want to please God. Make a mark on your generation for the glory of God. Amen. Oh yes, the Bible said that she was great with child. Most sinners do not view salvation as great because they form their opinion of that looking at us. Amen. The Bible in Hebrews 2 and verse 3 calls salvation so great, but is that evident practically in our life? Do we exhibit in our life the greatness of salvation? It's no wonder sinners don't want what we profess to have. We act like it's killing us. I told our church Sunday, when God saved me, He didn't give me the measles and the flu. Amen. He didn't give me some fatal disease. No, friend, He set me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, yes. No doubt about that. But God's people can experience greatness with God in light of the text. And I want to use that. I mentioned about the world's measurements. And God don't use those measurements. The measurement that God uses for greatness, Brother Brian, is found in the text. You did see it, didn't you? You did see that, didn't you? The Bible said that Mary, His espoused wife, being great with child. Now we know that's a motherly term, referencing that she was large. She was large with a child. In fact, the word great, where the Bible said she was great with child, if you look up the definition, means a swelling inside. How long's it been since you sensed Christ in you swelling on the inside? This is not a part of the definition of the Strong's, but I'd like to add it. It's a swelling inside that shows up on the outside. You can't hide it, friend. Amen. In other words, God, get this, if you don't get nothing else, here it is. If you want to know God's measurements of greatness, it's this right here. It's how big Jesus is in you. That's how God measured the greatness here of Mary, was that she had Christ in her and she was big because He was big. I've been guilty before, Dr. McAbee, of getting big without Him. And that's not big. Amen. But oh, if we could be like Mary and allow His bigness to become ours. Amen. 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 If you brag about her greatness, you've got to point to the child that is inside her. Oh yes, amen. His greatness is attached to, or our greatness is attached to His bigness. Our churches are drying up and dying as I speak, and it's because Christ in us is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. Amen. That's why you worry more than worship. It's because your problems are bigger than He is. It's easier to complain than it is to worship when you've got problems. Oh, we need a revival of the bigness of the Savior inside of us. Paul used the term, these terms in Galatians 4 and verse 19 as he was praying for the Galatian believers. He said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." The same analogy and thought of our message tonight. Paul said to believers of Galatia, your problem is Christ on the inside is not where He needs to be, nor what He needs to be. Are you listening? Oh yeah, Paul was using a pregnancy and a birth terminology when he said, I will travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Boy, what would happen to Welcome Baptist Church and Rogersville Baptist Temple and the other churches represented here tonight if we would get back to where Christ in us started swelling on the inside? Great with child. Not just great. Oh, Catholicism would like to end the verse right there. She was great. Oh, but Brother McAbee, that's not the end of the verse. There's no punctuation there. The Bible said she was great. Here it is. With child. Hallelujah. If it had said she was great with riches, I'd be bailed out. If she was great with whatever else you want to attach to it, I'd be out. But guess what? The one that's inside her, in theology, the application is, He's inside me. Paul referenced that in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word form there in Galatians 4:19 means to fashion or to be shaped. And everybody in here, I don't have to take a lot of time to talk about try to get you with a mental image of a lady expecting. Great with child. Full term. That baby is not just swelling in her, but it's shaping her. Help us, Jesus. And I wonder why that year after year, Brother Kearns, it seems that some folk in our churches hear our preaching and our teaching and they're exposed to our services, but seemingly never is there a swelling of Christ in them. I've preached my heart out to people and it seems as though Christ remains small in them. It makes me wonder, is Christ in them at all? Because you ladies that have had babies, you know that once And I'm getting ahead of myself right here, but that'd be all right. But once there's that divine conception, or in your case, the human conception, in our message tonight to be the divine conception, but once there's that conception, you don't have to wake up every morning and say, all right, baby, grow. All right, baby, this is Tuesday. You need to do your Tuesday growth. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Be ready for Wednesday growth. No! Growth is normal where there's life. If Christ is in you, He will swell up inside you. Yeah, He will. We need a revival of folk interested in being great with God. Don't you think so? Do you think that'd help your church? Do you think that would help your community? Amen. Hallelujah. Our greatness is attached to His bigness. God measures greatness by how big Jesus is inside you. And God has to know that about some because I can't see it. And I want to tell you, I've got fairly good vision. And I can spot a pregnant lady, especially if she's great with child. I can spot them about as far as I can see them. And I've seen some up close, Brother McAfee, in our churches. And I declare, I don't see no swelling. Their head might swell a little bit. And their self-image and pride might swell a little bit. No, not the child in them. Not Christ in them. May I say, first of all, that in order for us to experience greatness with God, number one, there's got to be a divine conception. Chapter number 1 and verse number 31, the Bible says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now watch this next statement. He shall be. What? Hello? He shall be. Great. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall be. He shall be. Future tense. But in the meantime, let him be great in you. Yes, there's coming a day he shall be great and he will occupy the throne of his father David. Yes, he will. But right now, in the meantime, let him be great in you. You be great with him. A divine conception. Now, needless to say tonight, but it's worth mentioning that there was no human aid here. Nothing man can do that can put Christ in you. Religion cannot put Christ in you. Good works cannot put Christ in you. Amen. Amen. Religious activities cannot put Christ in you. The only way. Amen. Come on now. The only way for Christ to get in a person, it takes the Holy Ghost of God to overshadow them and conceive in them. He has to. There's never been a physical birth without the conception of a seed. And there's never been a spiritual birth without a conception of the seed. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Oh, mama would have loved to put Christ in me back in my younger years. Kelly ought to say amen right there. My Uncle Joe did say amen. Amen. He knows quite a bit about me, but he's not testifying nor preaching tonight. Just say amen, Uncle Joe. Amen. Oh, no doubt even Uncle Joe would love to have put Christ in me. No doubt. And thank God for my godly heritage and my godly family that I've had. Oh, no doubt my grandmother and them would love to have saw Christ get in me, and they would have loved to have been able to do it. But that's not doable. I think that kind of goes, I didn't hear the message, I heard of it. That kind of goes along, Brother Mullins, with what you preach today. Hey man, you can pray and build an ark, but there's a point that you just have to watch and you have to wait and let God work. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I still remember it. January 20th, 1981, the second night of a 7-week revival, unexpected on my part. Didn't go to church to get saved. Slid in on that pew and just thought it would be another night at church. Just another service. Woo! Glory to God. And the man of God got to preaching the good word of God under the anointing power of God and the Holy Ghost of God got on my pew and got personal with me at 20 years old. And through the power of the Holy Ghost and a trip to an altar with repentance and faith, the Spirit of God birthed me into His family. Hallelujah. I still remember it. Amen. I can't hardly tell it without getting excited about it. Amen. Oh, and Mom and Dad would say, hey, that's what I've been waiting on. Because if Christ ever gets in you, He gets in the driver's seat. If Christ is in you, and you better know it according to the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, know you not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates. You better know Christ is in you. If Christ is not in you, then the Spirit of God has not yet done the work. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of similarities as to how Mary had Christ in her and how you and I, through the new birth, amen, which is supernatural, we have Christ in us. Well, there's a lot that we could say about that divine conception. But I want to hastily move on to number two. If we're going to be great with Christ, the great with God, not only is there a divine conception, but just naturally, there's going to be a developing growth. If He's in there, He's not going to stay just a seed. Amen! If you plant a seed in the garden, amen, it's not going to stay a seed. It's going to germinate. It's going to grow. It's going to burst through the ground. Amen. I want to tell you, if Christ is in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, He will be growing inside you. He uses your body to be His. Listen to this. It involves a developing growth. You say, preacher, what was it that activated this in Mary's life? Look at chapter number 1 and verse number 38. This is when Gabriel had conveyed to her the big plan of God. And here's what she said in verse 38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, here it is, according to thy word. In other words, Christ in her was the activation of the Word. That's how you get saved. You get saved by grace through faith. Amen. Listen to this right here. Listen to what the Bible says. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14, you know what Christ was called? The Word. You know what else it said about the Word? It became flesh. You know what happens when you get saved? The Word becomes flesh. Christ, the Word, gets in your flesh and lives out the principles of the Word of God in your life. Sure, you're right. a developing growth. Amen. Hallelujah. The word gets bigger. Her experience with God just kept expanding and enlarging. The day you got saved, you do know that was, as we refer to it, and I did, the greatest day in her life. But Brother Caldwell, I don't have to go back 30 and a half years ago to January 20th, 1981 to talk about my salvation. Why? Inside me, as I speak, Christ through His Holy Spirit and His divine nature is on the inside of me. And the further I go, the bigger He gets. Oh, I've got so much to get. I don't know if I'll ever get it done. Her experience with God just kept expanding and enlarging. It's automatic. It's automatic. It just works. Him getting big in her depended greatly upon what she fed upon. After all, moms, that baby feeds off of you. Inside you, that baby feeds off of you. And so it is Christ, or as Paul referenced it in Ephesians, the inner man feeds off of you. If you do not ever read the Word of God and you're unfaithful to church, guess who's suffering over that? You, and Christ in you is suffering over that. Amen. Greatness with God is determined by how big Jesus is inside you. Amen. She didn't go around straining and working about it. It just happened. Once the Holy Spirit did His part, the child began to grow. Development, listen to this. This is good. Development that takes place right in the center of her body. The baby's not growing on her shoulder. It's not growing on her knee. It's growing in the center of her body. You say, preacher, what's the application? God wants Christ to become big in the center of your life. I wrote this down. I thought this was pretty good. And it's shallow for some of you, but it'll work. God has designed that Christ be the center of your life. And when a woman is great with child, not only is that child in the center, but it's in the forefront. And no matter which way she turns, no matter what choices she makes, the child is always in the front. God wants Christ to always, in every decision and in every direction, to be up in the front. So in essence, you could really say, Brother Buddy, that no matter where she went, she was following. Christ first. Christ first. And then she was right in there behind Him. Amen. I like that, don't you? Amen. As Jesus developed inside her, she was taking precautions as to make sure nothing would hurt the baby. A true mama, I mean a real mama, will take precautions as to where she goes, what she's exposed to, what she's breathing, what she's eating, what she's drinking, and she's thinking, will this be good for the one that's in me? Boy, wouldn't that be good for us to think about Christ in us, to lay out that as a condition of everything that we do, places we go, things we partake of, my friend, and ask ourselves, is this good for Christ who is in me? Amen. That's right. Listen to this. And a mother that does not watch what she eats and drinks and goes and all that is a mother that does not love the one that's in her. But rather, Brother Gwen loves herself. Listen to this. On that word development, listen to this. I thought this was good. That development continues. And he continues to swell until eventually everybody that looks at her thinks, how in the world are you containing that? Oh, that Christ would get so big inside of us that people would look at us and say, how can you keep from popping? You look like when you come out of Sunday morning service, you are going to explode. The development continues. The development continues. The child continues to swell and to grow because of life, to the point that there's no room for nothing else. I mean, amen. Come on, moms. How many moms in here had babies? Isn't that true? The child eventually gets so large and gets so big, and you get so big because it's big. Amen. Woo! That all of a sudden you think, no room for nothing else. Wouldn't that be good when temptation, Christ be so big in us that when temptation comes around, all he would see is no vacancy. No vacancy. No room available. Amen. We're so full of God, there's no room. No room for bitterness. No room for unforgiveness. Amen. No room. No room. Full of Christ. Great with Christ. No room. Oh, Brother Jarvis, what would that do for this church? Brother McAbee, what would that do? And Gaffney, if we get so full of God and Christ becomes so big in us that it consumed every area. I still remember you preaching years ago, preacher, years ago, when Paul was talking about the Corinthian believers having an enlarged heart, and you preached on making room for God. I still remember that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you would experience more of the bigness of Christ if you give Him some room. Amen. If you'd get some garbage out of your life and get some trash out of your life and get some carnality out of your life and get some worldliness out of your life. Amen. That scripture that Dr. McAbee preached on that I just referenced, my friend, if you read on it, the next verse or two verses after Paul was talking about the Corinthian believers having an enlarged heart, goes right into being separated. Dealing with verses on separation and what fellowship is like with darkness and so on and so forth. That's how you make room for God, my friend, is clean things out of your life. Amen. Someone told, I believe it was D.L. Moody said, I'd give the world to have what you have. He said, that's what it cost me. Amen. But it doesn't matter who's preaching. Doesn't matter about, listen, hey, come on. You can have a great Bible. Thank God for this King James Bible. You can have a great Bible. You can be in a great church. Have a great preacher. Have a great salvation. Going to a great heaven. Amen. To live a great, long, unending time. And still not be great with God. The driest eyes in the city is in church. Amen. You know why they don't get excited about the choir songs that were sung tonight and the special numbers? You know why they don't get excited? Kids will sit there and text and, amen, fool with their fingernails and all kinds of things. You know why? They're bored. Yeah. They're so hooked on carnality and worldliness and flesh and sin that when there's spiritual things going on, they're completely unhooked with it. Amen. If we could get God's people to be as fired up and hungry about being big with God as most young people are about being big in their school classroom and among their peers, we'd have revival. Amen. Well, I've got to hurry. Lord, help me, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen. No room for anything else. Look like you're going to bust. I know that's not good English, but it works. When's the last time you left church and you thought you was going to bust? When's the last time you thought you was going to explode? You was just going to be just a puddle around the pew where you're sitting on because you was getting so happy and Christ was getting so big in you. You sweat. He sweat. Hey, ladies, you that's had babies. Did anybody have to tell you the full 9 months that, hey, excuse me, you got a baby in you? I remember Blake. I mean, I don't remember how many weeks he was in there. But I mean, you could see an elbow come across. And certain times, I mean, mama's belly would just start moving and a foot would go this way and an arm and an elbow would go that way. When's the last time you sensed any movement of God in you? When's the last time you read your devotions and you felt some movement on the inside? A witness of the Holy Ghost. On the inside, when's the last time the choir mounted the choir loft and got the singing in the glory? And inside you felt the movement of the Holy Spirit. Well, we could say right there, but I don't need to. Lord, help me, Jesus. And I know if you couldn't handle that, you probably won't handle this one for sure. But here it comes anyhow. There's got to be a divine conception. Don't expect movement if Christ is not in there. Don't expect growth if Christ is not in there. Don't expect a swelling on the inside if Christ is not in there. Whatever's big to you is great to you. Mary was great with child. That child got big in her. Number three, a difference that is caused. Come on, moms. Y'all help me now. I never have had a baby and don't plan on starting. Not at 50 anyway. Come on, moms. When you had that conception and that baby began to grow in you, were there some changes? Yeah, had a few nods of a head. I probably could ask the husbands, probably be more accurate. Were there some changes? Were there was, amen, Brother Ryle. We need you to come up and testify, brother. Amen. Were there some changes? What about this one? There was a difference caused, number one, in the wants. What once they did not like and would not dare taste all of a sudden. Honey, I believe I want some of that. Want some of what? And describe it and it nearly make you sick. They begin to, their wants change. Hey, do you see the application? Come on, help me preach a little, amen. That's right. Amen. When Christ gets in you by the Holy Spirit conception, amen to God, that Word of God being activated by faith into your heart, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll cause a difference in your wants. Well, preacher, Christ is in me, but I still want to go to the gyp joints, and I still want to go to the dance hall, and I still want to drink, smoke dope, and pop pills, and I still want to chase women and men and boys and all this stuff.
Come on, preach. Preach, son, preach.
Negative. Talk to the hand, because I don't believe a word of it. You say, preacher, you're judging. You got to be kidding me. I'm a living example of what Christ will do inside you. Amen. He'll change your wants. Before I got saved, Brother McAbee, my Uncle Joe will tell you this is true. My sister definitely can tell you. I ran away from home over the issue of going to church. It wasn't discussed at our house. It wasn't optional. You go to church or else, and the else was not good. Usually the else required attention. Some kind of salve. And maybe a doctor a visit. Amen. I tell people my daddy's very patriotic. Amen. He'd take us to the back room. He'd furnish the stripes and I'd see the stars. And often turn blue. That's right. Of course, my brother, if he was here, he could say amen to that, but my sister can't. She had never got a whipping. And Brother Robert, he has to live with that. I mean, me and my brother got whoopings. She might have got a whipping occasionally. I don't remember it. Vaguely. I'm just giving a shadow of a doubt. But me and my brother got whoopings. Hey man, I told my daddy, my brother's 4 years older than me, and we was throwing clods and dad in the garden. Daddy said, quit, and we didn't quit. We kept throwing clods as if daddy didn't mean what he said. And of course, he tore into Ricky, and I watched. And then it was my turn. You know what I said to him? I said, Daddy, don't whip me as hard as you did Ricky. I don't have him hard britches on. Every time Daddy got a hold of me, there wasn't none of my britches hard. Hey, man. How'd I get on that? Lord help us. But I know what it was. But I'm talking about my wants. Before I got saved, brother, going to church was, I had to go. I was made to go. It was Daddy's choice. But after I got saved, thank God, my wants changed. Hallelujah. When Christ got in me, what I used to not like, now I like. And what I used to like, now I don't like. Oh, the wants, there was a difference in the wants. Number two, come on, ladies. There's a difference in your walk. Actually, when you're great with child, you go from walking to wobbling. Hey, man. I mean, they're just kind of walking like this, you know. Nobody has to go up to a lady expecting full term. I mean, just about to pop and say, excuse me, ma'am, what's wrong with you? Why are you walking like that? Oh, when Christ swells up on the inside and he gets big and big and there's no room for nothing else, thank God, it'll make you walk different. Christ in you will affect your walk. It'll affect your wants. Oh, come on now. Ladies, no offense. Spiritual application. But it will affect your weight. Now keep in mind, spiritually I'm preaching. Amen. Christ. I better get this and then get on to the next point. Amen. But the truth is, amen, when Christ gets inside you and he's gaining weight and he's getting bigger and he's growing and he's getting larger, he's going to add some weight to your testimony. He's going to add some weight to your influence. See, I told you it was a spiritual application. Here's another one. I know you probably won't like this one, but it's in my outline. When you're great with child, it not only affects your wants, and it affects your walk and your weight, but it affects your wardrobe. Well, honey, you know, I just can't seem to fit in that no more. Amen. You know, honey, all that I used to wear that, you know, that was tight and suggestive and... all of a sudden, you know what? Honey, it just don't feel right anymore. And you have to get maternity clothes. Amen. Amen. In other words, clothes that's made to give the baby room. Clothes that shows off the baby. Not you. Don't show off you. Doesn't show off you, but it draws attention to that center attraction, the baby. Christ in you will affect, amen, come on. I don't have to duck down behind the pulpit to preach it. Amen. First thing God ever did after the fall was deal with their nakedness. Amen. Rejected their skimpy aprons. Amen. He still don't accept it. You say, preacher, why are you preaching that for in the Jubilee? The Lord said to preach this message, and this is a part of it. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of seeing how people come to church dressed. I mean, you have to look at the ceiling in most churches. Indecent exposure. I remember Brother Willis, I'm going to use his name. He'll be here tomorrow night. He's the one that told me this verse. I don't know if it was original with him or not. He said, I'm so tired of seeing thighs and legs, backs and breasts in church. He said, if I want to see those things, I'll go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Isn't that the truth? That's the truth, isn't it? God help us, amen. Whoa, what happened to dressing in a way that would profess godliness? What's wrong with dressing in a way inside and out of church that would portray you as a Christian and draw attention to Christ in you? Well, there it is anyhow. I could say a lot more on it, but move on. I got to move on. Number four. What is our point? We go back. What is our point? Y'all know what they are? Hard to ask you. No, I'm not going to ask you. That'd be depressing. I asked someone one time, right after I got done preaching. Hadn't been done preaching 5 minutes. Dismissed the service. And I caught someone coming across the front. I said, what did I preach? Never mind, I'll give you the point. A divine conception, a developing growth, a difference that is caused, but also a detection that is seen. A detection that is seen. You know what was visible to her being great with child? You know what was seen? The difference. The difference from what she was beforehand to now that Christ has got big inside her. That's what people notice. Are you listening? I mean, I'm not trying to blow nobody else's whistle on nothing. I'm just preaching the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Detection. The difference was what people noticed. God had grew inside of her until the point that the child started showing up on the outside. Amen. The outside was affected by the inside. Boy, I could get on that. I could get on that. I'm telling you. It's amazing how many people believes that all spirituality is inside only. Well, I preach, it doesn't matter about the outside. Show me that in the scripture. Is your body important? Is a body important? Must be. God prepared Christ a body. A body thou hast prepared me. Why? Because God is a spirit. And God had to have a body to manifest Himself through. And so then the incarnation, God stepped into a body and used that body to present holiness and purity. Amen. Hallelujah. Never did He dip His colors. Never did He compromise. Never, 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 never did He do that. He was a friend of sinners, yes. But he never let sinners influence Him to do things unbecoming to who He was. Amen. A detection. Amen. It don't take long till it starts showing up on you if Christ is in you. Amen. And you know, when you see a lady that's great with child, you know what catches your eye? Now, I'm not trying to be crude or unkind. You know what catches your eye most time? That swelling of the child. Am I right or wrong? So when Christ is in us and He's big, He'll draw attention to Him. Amen. There'll be a detection of Him that's in you. I've got to hurry. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me go with this and I'll be done. That's the point y'all been looking for. Amen. God just kept getting bigger and bigger inside her and growing inside her. And such bigness required stretching. Oh. The bigness of Christ in her demanded that her flesh stretch. I remember a lady in our church, Brother Craig, y'all are here, you can verify this. Miss Diane testified one time. She said, I discovered that not long after being a member of RBT, Rogersville Baptist Temple, that I seen that I was going to have to stretch to be a member here. That's the way it ought to be everywhere you go to church. You shouldn't look for a church to go that you can be comfortable in. No, you should go to where the preaching and the direction and the vision of that church, my friend, demands that you stretch. Demands that Christ get big in you and that your flesh stretches. Amen. She was great with God no matter where she was, no matter who she was around. She didn't take Christ in her and fold Him up and put Him in an envelope and then pull Him out when He went to church. Put Him back up when she went down the store. Amen. No. If you're great with child, if you're great with God, it'll go to store with you, to school with you, it'll go to bed with you, it'll go home with you, it'll go to church with you. Amen. It's not a light switch you can turn on and off. His greatness is inside you 24/7. And then, of course, that brings us to our last thought. The delivery. God does not intend that Christ just stays inside you. I like this right here. Look at this right here. And she was being great with child, verse number 5. And next verse says, and it was so while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And notice this next statement. And she brought forth her firstborn son. God, but here's the point. Here's the spiritual application. Christ will never get big outside of you till He is big inside of you. He will never get big outside. Hey, I read it to you. Hello. Luke 1:32. He shall be great. Yes. He shall be great. But that shall be greatness followed her being great with child. Amen. Don't expect Christ to get great in the neighborhood if He's not great in here. Don't expect Him to be great on a mission field if He's not great in here. And great in here. Is He great inside of you? How big is Christ to you? How valuable, how much of his attention does he occupy? How much of his your affection does he have? What competition does he have? What competition does Jesus have in your life? Brother, it's easy for competitors to come into your life. Easy. Easy, friend, for things to come in your life that'll be a competition to him and a competitor to him. God uses human vessels to deliver Jesus to the world. Before delivery, you can see more of Mary than God, but after the delivery, you see more of God than Mary. Y'all didn't get that. Before the delivery, you could see more of Mary than God. Because, I mean, you know, she did grow too. But after the delivery, you saw more of him than her. And that's what we should desire, is that God, you would use me to present Christ to a lost and a dying world. Not that they see me, but they see him. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. May God stir a desire in all of our hearts to become great with God. That God would become great inside of us. Some of you may need to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry for allowing these things and that and this and that and the other to become big in my life instead of Christ. Some of you might need to get in an altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for giving attention and affection to other things more than you. Esteeming friends and family higher than you. Lord, I want to be great with God. Oh, yes. I want Christ to become big in me. And then Christ become big around me. It's not about our bigness and your bigness and who knows me and our name and all of that. No. Oh, we should want to become big and great with God. And just simply put tonight, God measures greatness by how big Jesus is inside you. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. I tried my best to discern your will and tried my best to know your mind and your heart about what you'd have us to share this evening. And Lord, you put this message on my heart. And Lord, I want to thank you for helping me, giving me liberty, dear Lord, to preach. But Lord, I know, Lord, that you deserve to be big. I know that you desire to be big. Lord, I know that it is your design, it is your layout of your will and your work that you be big. Even John the Baptist, the greatest. None born of a woman greater than John the Baptist, but yet his motto was, he must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, help us, Lord, to get little. And if we'll get little, you'll get big. Oh, Father, we desperately need you to help us. Lord, there's some young ladies in the service tonight that needs to get serious about Christ in them. There's some young men need to get serious about Christ in them and how big he is and his growth and that inside swelling of the Savior. Lord, take the message tonight and challenge our hearts with it, Lord. And Lord, I want you to be big in me, Lord. I really do. Lord, I want you to be big in me. Oh, Lord, I don't want you just to be a sideline subject. Lord, I want you to be the center, the preeminent one in my life. Oh, Lord, I'm not interested tonight, Lord, honestly. If I know my heart tonight, Lord, I'm not interested in somebody patting me on the back and saying, oh, Preacher Rackley, this or that. Lord, that's not what I want. You know my heart, Lord. I want you to be lifted up. And all if people could get stirred up about the bigness of the Son of God inside them, Lord, it'd be worth it all. It would transform our churches, no doubt about it. Take the message tonight and use it, for God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Just let God speak to your heart tonight. Amen.